بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some women expressed their concerns. Their concern was when winding an estate, then a girl gets half what a boy gets. The son gets half what the daughter gets, half to what the son gets. So they are concerned. Similarly, the second concern was that in a judicial procedure, a woman's evidence is counted as half as the woman, as the men's. If one man's evidence is sufficient, then you require two women to substitute for one man. So this was creating some concerns in them. And the other great concern they also had was, as Asma bint Yazid, she had expressed this concern, that men can perform namaz in congregation, jamaat, they can attend the Jummah, they can also attend the janaza namaz, and they can go out in jihad freely. Amongst other things, four jims: Jummah, jamaat, janaza, and jihad. So they can go out, they got these opportunities, and we don't have these opportunities. Now the concern was this, that if we are counted as half here, then will we get half the reward of man in the hereafter? If we are counted as half here, then will we get half the share of a man in the hereafter? So it's a valid concern. The Wisdom gave her an applaud. What a beautiful question. Can you see a woman asking something better than this, more intelligent than this woman here? So Wisdom answered her, Asma bint Yazid, that when a woman cooperates with the husband happily, good mannerisms, takes good care of him, cooperates and encourages him, so her reward will be identical to the reward of the man. So if the woman wants to know what's her fortune, then if the man is going out in jihad, then she must support him, because she'll get identical reward. If the man is going out for 40 days in jamaat, then she must send him for 4 months. Because now, why must take only 40 day reward? Take a 4 month reward. So when your reward is going to be exactly the reward of the man, then a woman must take a lot of comfort in this, a lot of satisfaction, a lot of understanding in this. Let's see, whatever he's going to do, I'm going to get half the reward. So that means I must encourage him. Now, this is natural in man. When I see someone excelling, he's excelling in something, then I will also aspire. He's got one car, so I will aspire for that car. He's got a property, I will aspire for that property. He's got an investment, I will aspire for that. Or something that is outstanding: beauty, intelligence, understanding. So whatever the next person has got, you want to aspire for it, you want to long for it. Now, to blot out this aspiration will be practically impossible. You can't blot it out. But to give this the freehold, that do as you want, tell the aspirations, do as you want, that is also not right. There must be some guidelines, there must be some direction. Because the Quran, being the word of Allah Ta'ala, it captures the very nature of man. When it captures the nature of man, it knows the problem man has got. That he's going to be excelling, you're going to be also aspiring, you're going to be longing for it. Any matter, anything for that matter, wealth, intelligence, beauty, name. So in all these things, you will also want to excel. If He's got something that you want to, you also want something. So the Quran has given some guidelines. لا تتمنوا ما فضل الله بي بعضكم على بعض. Some things Allah Ta'ala has given, and this is according to divine distribution. It's a distribution of Allah Ta'ala. When it's a divine distribution, then don't run after it. See, Allah Ta'ala created the whole system, right? So He's created man, He's created plants, He's created rocks, stones, everything is created, right? So if you look at a diamond, then it's a stone. In one respect, it's a stone. And look at a pebble, it's also a stone, right? This is a stone, this is a stone. But if this pebble complains, that why am I made a pebble that people throw me around, I've got no value, just thrown as a litter of the street. So that's the complaint of the pebble, that why am I not made a diamond? That he will cry for the rest of his life, and there will be no improvement, no correction. You have to tell the pebble, by you just be happy in what you are. Otherwise, you'll just get thrown around. But if you're happy and you thank Allah Ta'ala, perhaps the stone can be used as equipment for the masjid, the foundation of the masjid. You'll be even more priceless than the diamond, because you'll be listening and witnessing the name of Allah Ta'ala all the time. All the time you'll be witnessing. Abu Dawud Sharif this hadith, which says, it talks about pebbles being spread out in the masjid. I remember the first Hajj I went, some corners of the Masjid Nabawi, you'll find some pebbles. Then they did away with it. But how this thing started off? So they say it started off like this, that the ground in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sand. And the roof was thatched. So the roof, imagine it's a thatched roof, and the ground was sand. So when it rained, the water seeped through. As it seeped through, it made the ground a bit muddy. So the Sahaba Ikram are coming in for namaz. When they are coming in for namaz, and they saw this, so they filled their kurtas with pebbles. And they covered the spot that they're going to perform namaz. They perform namaz at this spot. So covered the kurtas with pebbles, and they performed namaz on that. Nabi Sallam applauded this, he complimented this. So when he complimented this, they left it. In fact, he gave an encouragement that when a pebble is picked up to be thrown out of the masjid, tunashiduhu, that stone cries to him, giving him the name of Allah Ta'ala. In the name of Allah Ta'ala, don't throw me out of the masjid. Because I'm witnessing the name of Allah Ta'ala, I'm listening to the name of Allah Ta'ala, and how can you deprive me of this? So the lesson to be taken is, even the stone wants to remain in the house of Allah Ta'ala, witnessing zikr, witnessing the name of Allah Ta'ala, listening to Quran Sharif, etc. The real joy of life is in this. Everything else is just an imagination, it's an illusion. But the name of Allah Ta'ala, listening to it, witnessing it, really that is the real achievement. And for everything else, but he doesn't have the blessings of being in the house of Allah Ta'ala, taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, engaging in zikr, Quran Sharif, tilawat, kya fayda, what's the good? But everything else, but minus the name of Allah Ta'ala, kya fayda, what have you got? So anyway, when this aspiration and longing, yearning is natural within you, then how do we work with this yearning, this longing, this aspect, how do we work with it? What do we do with it? So basically this longing and yearning can be divided in three categories. The one category is impossible for you to achieve. Like I say, a stone wants to become a diamond, it's not going to happen. There's nothing that is beyond the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala can make it happen, but it doesn't happen. When it doesn't happen now, so then don't waste your time. Say, you born, for example, 1940s, right? Say you born in 1940s. So you're longing, I could have been born in 1800s, was what an excellent thing. Oh, I could have been born in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I would have been a Sahabi, right? So if you are longing in this manner, Is it going to bring you anywhere? Can it be reversed? Can the time be reversed and you brought to the time of the Sahaba Kiram? Can it be possible? So if you're going to be longing like this, you're going to be yearning for this, your time is going to get wasted, your energy is going to get wasted, your money is going to be wasted, and you won't get anything. So kya fayda? La tatamannu. Don't you put your mind into this. Ma faddalallahu, this divine distribution, is divine distribution that this person must be born now, that person must be born earlier, that person was born 50 years from now. So that is divine distribution. When it's divine distribution, then don't you aspire, don't run behind this thing here. It's not going to take you anywhere. You're born a South African, right? Now you see, I could have only been born Nigerian, you know. How good you would have been. Or you're born a Nigerian, I could have been born an American, you know. I have a green card, you know. So will that work out? Will it happen? Or you're born in South Africa, it's Hajj season, and you see what a big problem people have in getting for Hajj, you know. So you're aspiring, could have only been born in Saudi Arabia, I would have had an Arab passport, nationality, you know. And I could have moved in so easily, Hajj, Umrah, just move and come out, come and go. But is that going to happen? When it's not going to happen, then don't put your mind behind this. If you're going to put your mind behind this, then you're going to waste your time, your energy, and apart from everything else, you'll get depressed or frustrated. I'm trying to become a Saudi, I can't become. You'll either get frustrated or you'll fall into depression. So why ask for this problem? Don't run behind this. This is divine distribution. So this is the one category which is impossible. When it's impossible, then don't run behind it. You're born a man, now don't wrong that I could have been only a woman, you know. South Africa now, women got more rights. What they call black empowerment, that women opportunities and all that. So if you're a woman, you got better opportunities in business. So now, hey, I could have earned that. I could have only been a woman. And then you aspire, well, hey, I could have been a black, you know. I could have been at least eligible for this black empowerment. So this thing is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Just let it be as it is. That's a divine distribution. Allah made it like this. You're not going to change it, you're not going to make any cancellations, and you're not going to make any type of adjustments. So don't let your mind go behind it. You're going to allow your mind to go behind it, you'll fall into a frustration or into a depression. And both is not good. It's not for a Muslim to get into a depression, and not for a Muslim to get into a frustration. Why did he do this? But leave all that. Abu Zughan ad-Din, they were so calm and composed. One person came to one Buzurg, write me a letter of recommendation. I need a certain favor, but this person has got it. So that Buzurg wrote him that letter. In tu'ati, fallahu huwa al-mu'ti wa anta al-mashkur. If you see him right, then really it is Allah Ta'ala that is giving, but this favor of yours will be appreciated, this goodness of yours. But the giver, I haven't lost sight of the giver. The giver is real giver is Allah Ta'ala. And وَإِن تَمْنَعْ فَالْمَانِعْ هُوَ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ الْمَعْزُورِ. But by the same token, if you refuse to give him, there's not a problem, don't worry, because the one that has actually stopped this is Allah Ta'ala. And you are an excused person. You're excused. You know, changing the person's thought is about the most difficult thing. You can be disciplined, you talk very good English, don't use any vulgar languages, don't use swear words and all that. But with all that, that person's heart can be corrupt. Heart is in wealth. Heart is in, you know, this person here, he's got wealth, so I get some ta'alluq with him. I got some contact with him, then I'll be thrown in, right? Or people see me with him, so I'll be respected as well. So, is dunya a thing to be respected? But Nabi Sim is saying, dunya mal'unun, it's a cursed thing. Now you want to be in the company of a cursed person. Say, no, I spoke to so and so, Mr. Harry Oppenheimer, huh? So you want to be with him. So what's the blessing in that? Yeah, the hadith is saying that is a curse, but you want to be with him, talk to him, or get your children married to that person, or his children. I said, no, they'll get thrown in. See, all these are dreams. These are the dreams that the hadith is not talking of. Discouraging. But you want to allow your mind to go into that. And then the problem will come with it after that. So, this first type of aspiration and yearning and longing, Allah Pak said, don't go behind it all. La tatamanna, don't aspire. Then there is a second type of aspiration. And the second type of aspiration is logically possible, but it doesn't normally happen. Logically it is possible, it can happen, but normally it doesn't happen. So when normally it doesn't happen, so don't run behind it as well, right? It may have happened for one person in a trillion people, right? In trillion persons, one person must have happened. One person in Johannesburg was going past the Jaxi River, right? As he went there, he passed a diamond. The diamond was auctioned about $10 million, right? So it happened for one person. Now, is that the general norm? Is that the general norm? Now everybody says, hey, let's go on the banks of the Jaxi River. His luck and fortune open up here. Maybe mine also open up. So we don't run behind this thing. It happened for one in a trillion person. It's not going to be repeated. You heard about the birth of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, that she's been created from a rib, right? Khuliqat min zil'in iwajin, right? A woman is created out of a rib, right? So now you think, I could also have given birth, you know, to one Hawa. One Hawa must come out from my rib. Now your whole life will be spent. Hawa will come out of you, but Hawa will come out of you. You understand? It's a thing that is very impractical. It may never happen, right? Though it is logically possible, but it will not happen. If it's a woman, the woman will become Maryam alayhi salam. You know, I must deliver a child without the agency of a man, making dua. Allah Pak made it happen for one person, and then many things that He made happen, He won't repeat the thing. We don't want to repeat the thing, so why must you run behind it? Did it for one person, but it's enough. Now after that, there's going to be a repetition. And now if it happens now, isn't there going to be a complication? Say one woman came, Maryam came, and said, no, I also got an Isa. Now people start looking at the woman, hey, but this, now, you know, we're not sure about it, we're not clear about this, that you are real Maryam, and this is real Isa, we're not clear about this. What happened? There'll be a whole procedure, a whole investigation behind this woman. So Allah Ta'ala stop this. But logically it is possible. Though it is logically possible, but it doesn't happen. When it doesn't happen, then don't allow your mind to go behind that. Imagine a person is on a life support, right? His organs are all failing. Two, three organs already failed. Heart failure, kidney failure, liver failure, right? Everything is failing. He's got a stroke of paralysis, right? 3-4 major strokes of paralysis, right? And his legs and hands are all fractured, crushed, right? So the doctors are trying to fix him up. Now he's aspiring to participate in the Olympics, in the marathon, they come out first. Is it going to happen? It's very unlikely that this thing can happen. So when it's very unlikely for it to happen, then don't run behind it. Now you're born brown or white and you want to be black. Or you're born black and you want to be white. Does it happen? Doesn't happen. And you put facial cream and that whatever, super rose, whatever you'll put. You think you'll come. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, but don't run after it. So the first thing is completely out. Don't run. That which normally doesn't happen, that also don't waste your time. Obviously, I didn't say, you're going to do this, you'll create frustration, you'll create depression. It's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. So don't run behind this. Now, but that doesn't solve the question, what do we do with our aspirations? You know, we have got that yearning to aspire, to long, to go forward, to progress. That's natural within us. So now, when there's a natural potential within us, must we just absolutely ignore it, leave it aside? Or is there something that we could put it to use? Some way we can use. So yes, the Quran says this. Now, there's two different opportunities. And these are the two opportunities that you must think about. One is material and worldly, and one is akhirat, right? So Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. These are all the things that will attract you: women, gold, silver, diamonds, farms, vehicles, all these things, properties, investments. All these things will definitely attract you. So the Quran is not saying that this will not attract you; it will tempt you. It will tempt you. You see it; it will tempt you. Attempt you. You can't remove it from the equation entirely. This thing is going to attempt you. It's going to tempt you. But then, is this the better thing for you to get tempted and moved into? I got this car here, I got this house here, I got this building, I got that investment, right? Now, I've been saying this for some time, that to understand things in perspective, you must bring death into the equation, then you understand things in perspective. And until you didn't bring death into perspective, you're going in a circle. You think, he's got the car, I must get it. He's got the building, I must get it. He's got a house, I must get it, right? So, you will be getting into circles as long as you don't put death into the perspective. Now, imagine you are confronted with death. وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمُوتِ وَالْمَالِكُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Now, you're confronted with death, right? Malak al-Maut says, boy, it's just 10 seconds flat you got. Will you tell him then, Malak al-Maut, you know what, can you organize me one Ferrari? Will you say that? Malak al-Maut is telling you, boy, I'll organize anything for you now. Anything you want, worldly, material-wise. Just take for example, Malak al-Maut said, alright, I'll organize for you. Will you ask him for the Ferrari? Will you ask him for the mansion in Musgrave? You ask him for the mansion in Musgrave, the Malak al-Maut, perhaps if he offered you, say, no, I can do it, I can arrange for you. But remember, that grave is a must. Though you're in Musgrave, but grave is a must. You're going to go there. 10 seconds flat we give you, but you're going to be there. So until you don't put the grave, that moat in the equation, you don't get this alignment right. The alignment only comes right when you put moat before you. Comes right. So, on the one side, we know, Allah is saying, we know that this is the thing that tempts you. It will tempt you, it will lure you, you feel for it, you want to go towards it, and you think it's a great achievement. But you must look at the thing at a long term to get the right type of answer. You want the right answer, you want a direction, right? Then don't look at it short term, look at it at the long term. You're looking at the long term, now you get the right type of answer. But you look at it at the short term, you don't want to get the right results. You're taking now sugar, right? You're a sugar patient, one way. Loading yourself with sugar. I can't resist. But now you're not looking at it as a long term, that you're going to take sugar, you're going to spoil yourself. Just now, you would have to take insulin. And from insulin, then you have to go for dialysis. From there, you'll get gangrene, you have to then amputate your leg. So whatever happens, happens afterwards. But now I must have that immediate gratification. I must have it. See the short term policy and how it disrupts, how it corrupts everything. Now you got 50,000 naira in your pocket now. You saw one jacket, 49,000 naira. I must buy the thing. So you bought it impulsive and you bought it. Now your wife is suffering, your child is suffering, you are suffering. Everybody's, you know, Murana, make dua for me, man. You know, I bought the back jacket. I don't want to give the jacket away also. But make dua for me, that things work out for me. But isn't that stupidity? Allah gave you, and He gave you not for you to squander everything one time. Understand how your life goes, understand how wealth comes, and balance yourself and work yourself out. When you're going to work yourself out, then the hadith says, Ma ala man iktasad. When you're going to go with moderation, you're not going to suffer. But then you want to go beyond moderation, and you don't want to suffer, it doesn't happen. See, this being straight, ma'ala manik tasad. You live with moderation, you're not going to suffer. But you went beyond moderation, then you're going to suffer. So, on the one end, Allah Pak recognizes your problem, but on the other end, He's showing you, أَوْنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. He says, show you what you must aspire for, what you must long for. So, every human being, he aspires for something. One, it's common in every human being, he aspires something. See, as you're moving to another country, and then they're going to stop you at the customs, at the immigration, right? You want two things out of them. One, you want an easy passage. And number two, you want them to treat you with respect, right? So as a Muslim, we do believe that this is a transit lounge. And you're going out just now. When is it going to happen and how is it going to happen? That's not your guess. It's going to happen. How is it going to happen and when is it going to happen? That Allah Pak knows. And don't we see young people going 32 years, 29 years, 40 years, people just leaving. Some phone came from Ladysmith. Some woman, I think, under 30 or something, 30 or 32, gone in a sleep, 2-3 minutes left. And they never got up after that. See? So it can happen to a man, it can happen to a woman, it can happen to anybody. So this transit lounge is such, okay, there's no certainty that how long you're going to be here. You're going to move out, that is certain. But when you're going to move out, you don't know. But definitely at the end, what you want that transition to be smooth and done with respect. That's what you want. Everybody wants that. Transition must go smooth and with respect. So now for that, there is two plans that you have to keep in place. One is a dua. Right? So I explained, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِي بَعْضٍ. You mustn't aspire for these things. Right? And then if a woman wants that reward, then there is an opportunity for her as well. She's complying, she's respecting husband, then she will get identical the reward of what the husband gets. Even for Hajj, she's getting the sawab. He made jihad, she's getting the sawab, right? He's going for Jummah namaz, she's getting the sawab. But she must conform. She must act on the sunnah, and she must be happy agreeing with the husband. So she got an identical reward. Her reward is no less. But with this, you need to do two things. Keep in mind two things. One is the dua, and one is what you need to do to get the smooth transition with respect. As you come into any immigration, any custom, right, what you want. So you want now, as you come there, then you want those custom officers to receive you well. Oh, Mr. Yusuf, how was your holiday? You enjoyed yourself? It's great to have you back. Man. Compliments. Congratulations. Welcome. We're missing you for so long. Please, go. Now, how nice would you feel? You came, they put you into a separate line. They gave you a diplomatic immunity. It was all the respect, all the colors they gave you. You got a special line to go with red carpet. And then they ushered you in. And as you just moved out, and there, the taxi was there waiting for you to take you to your home. So how nice don't you feel? Everything is in place. No problems. So much of respect. Now this can happen in the hereafter as well. As you are approaching death, the malaika are there to ashish, but don't worry, no ghabrat, no reason to stress. Nahnu awliyaukum, we are your friends. We are here to be on your side. So you mustn't stress, don't make any ghabrat, we are around. So the malaika are there to support, give you all the support. And many a times, those malaika come in forms that you are familiar with. Maybe the form of your mother, maybe in the form of your brother, maybe in the form of one buzur that you are very familiar with. They come in that form to create a little bit of more familiarity. You're familiar with that, right? So, it comes in that form. Like someone sees some buzurg in the dream, it doesn't mean that the buzurg came in your dream, no. Perhaps some malaik or something came, but in that form he came. He came, why in that form? He came in that form because you're familiar with that. And then he passed on a message. Because 90% of the time the buzurg also doesn't know that this is what happened in his dream. But he saw you in the dream, it doesn't mean that you came into his dream. So the malaika begin to receive you at that time. And then they tell you, alright, Mr. Yusuf, please get into your jannah. The doors of jannah are open. Please go in now, please. You're holding a queue now, please, man. Please go in. How nice will you feel? I said, why? Malaika said, hey, you got it, man. We are here on your side, on the light, on the left, with the entourage. Come. And they're saying, wow, shabash, congratulations to you. The gates of Jannah are open. Go, please come in. How nice don't you feel? Now that can happen also. Malaika saying, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْهِدُ. You just move on. And whatever you desire, you will get it. Straight you will get it. No delay. You desired and you got it. So that can also happen. So, one is the dua that you need to make, and one is the amal that you need to do. For the same plan. For the same plan. See, for worldly ease and comfort, we have a plan in place. Motor car plan, don't we have? Medical plan, don't you have? Business plan, don't you have? For everything there's a plan. And if a child does something wrong against the plan in your house, do you feel nice? In the kitchen sink, you want to make pisab. Hey, that's out. That's off now. Don't do that. Do it according to the plan. So Allah also got a plan. So just conform to the plan, and you'll get things right. So if the child argues with you, but this is a sink now. Everything is washing out from here. So why are you stressing, Nana? Why are you stressing that? What do you tell? Wait, leave all the stressing. You don't use this again. Otherwise, don't come into the kitchen. Won't you become strict to the child? So Allah has got a plan. When He's got a plan, then just conform, just agree with the plan. Don't debate. If the child wants to say, "Now show me 10 reasons why I mustn't make me sapia." This is also water. That is also water. So what's wrong? Why are you stressing like that? Are you going to entertain a discussion? I said, no. You go to the toilet. Whatever you need to do, you go do that side. Come and eat here only. Won't you be strict on the child at that time? Be very strict. You're not going to mince your words. You're not going to be relaxing your order and your system. You're going to have your system straight and clear, but you're not going to allow that. So the dua that you'll make is Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Because in the same verse Allah says, وَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. That's the dua that you'll make. Allah Ta'ala ask you for your grace. Why? Why must you ask for His grace? Why must you ask for the worldly things? Why must you ask for His grace? The reason is that you will not know what is better for you for the future. You ask for wealth, right? But that wealth, وَأَوْذُ بِكَ أَيْ that wealth becomes a wabal for me. That wealth can become a problem for you. Now you don't have wealth, you're alright. But now you got wealth, now it's a problem. Doesn't it happen? Before you didn't have that wealth, so you were at ease. Now you got that wealth, now you can't sleep. You know that one there in Cape Town, what's happening to that one in Cape Town? But the job over that is falling down, the manager is having me now. Can't sleep over the thing. Taking so much good money out of the job over one, that thing is going now. These managers nowadays, you know, you can't trust them. So hold your night is going. So that same wealth becomes an azab for you. If you ask for wealth, that wealth can become a problem. If you ask for the child something specific, the child also can become a problem for you. The wealth can be a problem, the child can be a problem. Just with age you will see it. You don't see it when you're young. You don't see it straight away. But just a few years into life, you say, hey, that what of this child here? The child turned around to be something totally different. It's a disaster to me. I know one person came here, speaking dua, Lord and Buzruk at that time, so he made dua, he must get a son. And Buzruk said, don't ask for that. He kept on asking second time, third time, fourth time, that's why he got the son. The same person came again after about 20 years when the child grew up. Now, he said, make dua now, the child dies. Now, he got the child, he's got wealth, everything got, right? Too much of wealth, but the child is becoming an embarrassment. He is getting into drugs, womanizing, disgracing his father, embarrassing. Now he's coming again and saying, hey, but this happened all this time in front of me. He's asking, make dua that this child goes away now. It's too much of embarrassment. The masjid now, someone asked me, hey, what happened to your child, man? I'm sorry about him, man. He's sympathizing with me, but it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing now. So I asked for it, I got what I asked for, but now the child turns out to be a wabal, a problem for me. Problem child. So then what are you supposed to be asking for? Then ask for the grace of Allah. We all need material and we all need the hereafter. But in what form and what format we need it, that is known best by Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because Inna Allaha bi kulli shay'in alima. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. He knows the future, He knows the present, He knows the past. He knows the individual. So when He's covered, His knowledge is covered all times, all persons, all places. Then is there going to be anything better than what He selects? What you select, there can be a problem. And His selection, can there be a problem? Because His selection has covered time, places, people, things, everything is covered. When it's covered everything and you ask of His grace, then what you asked for, there will definitely be grace. Not that wealth came, but that wealth is a means of muhabbat in your house, generating muhabbat in your house. That wealth came, and it's an opportunity for you to use it in the right avenues. Right avenues. My luck just struck, man. That person was really in need, I gave it to him. I see the good that came out of it. That man wasn't a very good namazi. Now he became, that a little bit of wealth I gave him, and now he became a namazi. See what this person here, he became a mullah. I got that wealth, and I just spent on him. He has become a mullah. I see him, he's giving so much bayan, so much of good work is happening through this person here. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave me that blessing, that grace, to use it in the right place. Now I can see the fruit, I can see the production out of it. Now how that happens? When you have asked Allah Ta'ala for His grace. So if His grace has attached your wealth, then you're moving. But His grace has come out of your wealth, then you are a disgrace. See that? That grace has to just attach your wealth. It's attached, it's just leading everywhere. And it's separated, then that's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. So you don't ask for what your heart desires. Ask for what pleases Him. Like I ask you for your grace. And the grace is the greatest thing. Now, for the next 10 years, for the next 100 years, His grace is the best thing. So, was'alullah min fadlik. Repeatedly ask, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Not only when you're leaving the masjid, at any time and every time, ask. Get up at night, Allah ask you for your grace. So, one is the dua, and one is the plan. So, there must be a dua, there must be a plan. You ask for health, right? You ask Allah Ta'ala, you beg for health, right? So when you beg for health, there is dua. But with that, there is a plan. You will diet in a certain way, you will take a certain type of food, you will eat, you will have this type of a lifestyle. Then inshallah, you go well. But you don't just confine yourself, restrict yourself to dua. Dua, then you have a plan. When there is a plan with a dua, then it goes well, because this is how Allah Ta'ala designed the world. But He wants in all that, you must have your yaqeen in me, that I will give you that health. You will give yourself that health, I will give it to you. But with all that, you will conform to one plan. You will eat like this, you will diet like this, you will do this type of exercise, etc. And you will make dua. Both goes hand in glove, and your plan works out. Doesn't it work out? So the same, you're asking. One is you asking, and then one is you conforming to this plan. So this plan is reported to us by Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. He's brought this plan to us. So mustn't we say radiallahu anhu with happiness, with the cheer of heart, right? That this man, such a great person, and he showed us the plan. He showed it to us, how must we go about doing it. He preserved it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and after preserving it, he passed it on to us. So mustn't we be pleased to him, pleased with him, right? What a great plan. To show now how you're going to guarantee a smooth transition once you left this world here and you're going across. Then you want to go smoothly with respect. Isn't it? After you analyze your whole life, you went here, Vedicas, Japan, everywhere, wherever you went. At the end, what you want? At the end, you want a smooth transition. Anything else you want, smooth transition with respect, Allah must take you across. You want it for yourself, you want it for your children. Is there anything else that you want? Whether you're living in a jondol, whether you're living anywhere, but that's the thing that you want. You don't want it that you live here, in a palace, but then in the akhirat, was there a jundur you living? You want that to happen. So you want to live here, alright, decently, but the greater concern is as you transit, as you leave here, as you exit, then you're exiting with respect and with ease. That's what you want at the end. No matter where you lived, you'll ask for ease. Not that you won't ask for ease, but that's a greater concern. But now, how do you make it a reality? What is the plan that you will conform? So that is why you make dua for Abdullah ibn Salam, but for every Sahabi. Because every Sahabi passed on the same message. He showed us. So every Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, anhum wa radu anhu, right? So Abdullah ibn Salam says that, now Abdullah ibn Salam is one of the greatest ulama of the Jews, greatest. So his understanding will be different. See, when he's a non-alim, his understanding is different, right? If you explain a hadith, or a Quranic ayat to a non-alim, he'll understand it differently. But an alim, he will capture it, and he'll capture it at a different level. So he's the greatest ulama from amongst the Jews. Banu Qaynuqa is the greatest. There isn't an alim at his level. Now he's got it directly from the Wisdom. When he's got it directly, and he's passing it on to us, now you can imagine how precious this is. So the first thing that Nabi Sam taught him on that occasion, afshu salam, make salam a common thing, practice it, propagate it to anybody and everybody, whether you know the person, you don't know the person, but make salam, salamu alaikum, salam with the cheer, with a smiling face, come to the home, salamu alaikum, with a cheer face, salamu alaikum. You're not an army officer here,
right?
With cheer, with respect, with muhabbat. When they see you, they must feel, hey, my man came. How nice the house people feel. But you're sorry. You can't bully the people in your shop, but not everywhere now. Some places, all right, you show your authority, but not everywhere now. Wherever you see your army general has come. So you show the cheer, show muhabbat, show love. Nabi Sam, as he's coming to the house, the cheer, making miswak. The first thing that he would make miswak, the cheer, and then read few rakats of namaz, 2 rakats, 4 rakats of namaz, then he'll start off. So the barakat that he got from the masjid is passing it out to the house. So won't there be love and muhabbat that will be permeating the house? Came in with a smile, with salam, tahiyyatam min indillah. Allah Ta'ala's blessings are coming. Making namaz, all the barakat that you got from the masjid, 2 rakat namaz you read. You come to the house straight away, what's the news now? So what's that? You're coming in a different frame of mind. The barakat that you collected, maybe you heard a bayan, or some hadith you heard, or you've been reciting some Quran Sharif, or whatever you heard, whatever you benefited, you're passing it in the form of 2 rakat namaz, 4 rakat namaz. Then you start off, you can cheer, I don't say you mustn't do that. But can't we just do this thing here? For salam. For everybody and anybody. Whether you know the person, you don't know the person. But what an easy thing, what an easy prescription. The only person that you don't make salam to is a young girl, right? Yeah, the woman is now about 75. It's alright, you can cheer, you can smile at her. I agree, inshallah. No, inshallah, I don't think there will be a fitna in that. Kya rahe, right? Any fitna in that, 75 years? Yeah? No, 75 is past the expiry date. So, no problem. Anybody below that, then you don't smile. Don't greet and don't smile. Just do your, then you can be an army general. It's alright. For that person, you can be like an army general. What is it? For what is it? Who comes here, right? Just live your life. Just straight talk and class. I tell you that even for business reasons, it's better. If it is a business woman, maybe it's a woman speak on one side, but you speak like that, it's better for you. Because the moment you become a little bit soft and learning, then you make it attractive. So, no, I will just exploit her. It won't exploit her. It works both ways. You'll give and take. It doesn't work one way. For business reason also, you just be straight. So you're just doing business. She's not supposed to be the representative of the company. But somehow she became the rep. So if she became the rep, then you just talk to her business only. Nothing besides business. And the better thing is to tell the company, by send a mail rep. So I don't want to buy the girl, I want to buy your product. Make it clear. Now, you have to buy the product for that girl. You're mixing the issues here. Khalt and mubhas. You're mixing the issues here. So this is the one thing, that you make salam to anybody and everybody. Muslim, provided the person is Muslim. With the cheer of the face, make salam. And if the person is relaxed, then you can shake your hands also, if he's relaxed now. Now, sometimes you say shake the hands. Sometimes I got kitab in my hand, something I got my shoes, 2-3 things in the hand, someone is giving me, hey, bhai. You can see I'm covered here, I've got kitab in one hand, shoes in the other hand, and now, which hand must I use to make salam? They think like, you know, that Hindu God got 20 hands. Like, one has this side here, one has that side. So one is that salam, right? One is salam. Afshu salam. And the second thing, at'imu ta'am, feed. Now, you can't take everybody home, right? Be practical. Islam is a practical religion. So you can't afford to take everybody home all the time. But that doesn't mean you can't feed. You can feed. Now, you got some money, right? You got, say, 1,000 rands. And you want to do something. Now, you got some people in the factory, some people are poor, right? So you bought them something, they're going to eat there, whether it's a burger, or you think to yourself, sometimes you think, all right, the burger, only that person will feel happy. Then you buy him some bologna and a loaf of bread, or some sausages and a loaf of bread, right? So he will take it and he will enjoy it with his family. So you'll get so many people's duas. Himself, his wife, his children, everybody will eat. And the burger price, and this year, there won't be a big difference. But if you use it intelligently, you're going to bring happiness to him, to his wife and his son, everybody. The whole house is going to make dua for you. So aren't you using your money intelligently? I bought a nice burger, a double sized burger, 50 rand. The same money, one loaf of bread, some sausage or something you bought, a couple of good sausages, they're going to use it, they're going to enjoy it at home. The whole family is happy. So I say that there mustn't be a day that passes that we don't do some sadaqah, 20 rand, 15 rand, according to your capacity, according to your means. Someone can't afford that also, you caught some fruit in your motor car. You saw someone at the robot, someone poor in the street, someone gave one banana, some apple. But your salam, and with your salam, you are feeding. So you see, this Islam is about promoting love, you know, love, muhabbat to everybody. Now that's the thing that we are lacking today. This morning thing is troubling me in my mind, that we are lacking this very seriously. We are not promoting muhabbat. How do we look for avenues how to promote love? How to make muhabbat? Alright, I can't call everybody home, but that doesn't mean I can't feed. I don't earn 50,000 rand, but whatever I got, I can give one apple, one sweet, one chocolate, something I can give away to someone. Some sign of, some way that I can promote muhabbat with love, speak to the person nicely, talk to him correctly, and you find now the spark of love is just generated. So we're not doing this. We're doing all, more zikr is coming, masjid, more namaz is coming, but this generating of love, how do we generate love? How do we? And then you continue, Allah will create avenues. See, as you show love, Allah will create avenues for you to be able to promote even more love. Then I ask you, will the Muslim be fighting? See, so much of differences, so much of problems, we've got no direction, we're getting lost. But aren't you a Muslim also? Aren't you a party of this whole community? When you're a party to this community, it's your duty also to at some level try and promote love, encourage love, muhabbat. They will talk about ikhtilaf and all that. What are you going to get out of it? Are you going to get anything out of it? But yes, you're going to promote love in some way, give someone something. So your salam mustn't be dry. Let it be juicy. You couldn't do anything, alright? You saw that there was some tarkari in the house. So you made a nice sandwich. You put some meat there, some kashumar, and then you saw someone in the street, something, you gave it to him. But what a smile you'll see in his face. Hey, mashallah, I did this. For the day at least, there's some sadaqah that he's done. And apart from everything else, because of the sadaqah, perhaps some of the musibah that was supposed to come, that is washed away from the path. So you see, these acts of kindness and muhabbat, it's not just an optional thing. It's a thing that is very much emphasized in Islam. Very much emphasized. General muhabbat, kindness to people, whether it's Muslim, non-Muslim. It doesn't mean that we keep away from a non-Muslim, that we don't show him kindness. Some kindness, at the level of kindness we must do it. Whether it's a Muslim or non-Muslim, but some level of kindness. And as I have to repeat all these things here, but please don't show some additional kindness to young women, please. Old aunties is alright, one gogo is alright, but young aunties and all, please don't show. Because you may start with a good niyat, but then something else will come into your mind. One thing to lead to the other, and the third thing, and the fourth thing. And before you know what happened, everything got lost. So don't do this thing here. So, this acts of kindness, general, everybody. General. One is salam, then acts of kindness. Promoting of love, muhabbat, kindness. Then the third thing that Nabi Sam speaks about is wasilul arham. More particularly, your own relatives. General kindness, but in particular your own families, etc. So what type of kindness you will show to them? You'll take more pains to be more friendly towards your family, relatives, or your family's friends. Your family, like Khadija's friends, Nabi Sam was more considerate towards them. Khadija must have passed away after she was 60 or something, 65, 70, right? So when she was about 65, 70 when she passed away, and now in Medina Munawwara, Nabi Sam is slaughtering a goat and sending meat parcels to her friends. So her friends might have been about 80. Right? Now if you say this, give this explanation, that's how you say, now my wife's friend this one here. And you may give her a wrong person. So don't do that. See, Nabi Sam, look at his life, and the friends of Khadija would have been of her age. So this is being practiced in Medina Munawwara, so that age of the ruler is over 75, 80. So if you give a woman 80, say, no, do it. help out. So one is the family, and one is the family's friends, your father's friend, your mother's friend. That is also part of your rahim, part of your relationship. When it's part of your relationship, then goodness to them. So general kindness, but specific kindness towards family and the friends of the families. How will you show? Now look at all this lesson and reason. What is it promoting? Mohabbat, kindness, love. It's encouraging all these things. I want to say something, don't take offense. Alright. Before you're doing something like Maulud or something like, and feeding so many people. But alright, the practice, I won't encourage that practice. But that doesn't mean you mustn't feed. Feed minus that you can feed now. Buy one, dig and feed. Go wherever, call some 100 people, 200 people, feed them at home, wherever, but feed them. Say, alright, they stop that Maulud, but they do something else. But alhamdulillah, but they're still feeding. Now you stop this and you stop the feeding, both ways you lost. So this feeding, Nabi Sam likes it. You don't know what it does to a person. Maybe that person didn't see this type of food for so long, right? And you brought the satisfaction, right, to his heart, to his stomach. How much good you have done for him. So you see, the first, make salam, then general kindness, feeding people, then specific families and friends of families. Does that create an atmosphere? Then the last thing that Nabi Sam speaks about, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Try and picture this. I'm talking about a smooth transition into the akhirat, into Jannat. Ease and smooth, right? Respectful. The last thing is talking about read some tahajjud namaz. As people are asleep, read some tahajjud namaz. I mean, what he's talking about is, apart from your faraz namaz, you will do it. But apart from your faraz namaz, something at tahajjud as well. And in these days, not to read tahajjud really is a problem. Because I'm sure that the bed also gets tired of you. It starts off so early, big bed gets tired. So 2 rakats, 4 rakats of namaz. Can you see it's a big deal? It's not a big deal. 2 rakats, 4 rakats. Just go to bed on time. You'll get that opportunity to read 2-4 rakat namaz before 5:15. Around 5:15 now time ends up. So before that you still get the time. So one is you will do your namaz, faraz namaz on time. To see that you get your faraz namaz on time and your ma'mulat, whatever the mashayikh has prescribed to you, it goes well, then the very easy way, very easy effective way to do that is to see that you come to the masjid at least 10-15 minutes before your scheduled time. Every namaz, fajr namaz, zuhr namaz, asr namaz, whatever. Here we got that Haji Abdullah Desai Sahib. So every namaz is there about half an hour before time. So if every namaz, if you come 15-20 minutes before, you create an atmosphere in the masjid. Hey, mashallah. Whenever I go to this masjid, I see someone around. So aren't you an encouragement? So that's your gush. The better thing is to go for gush. But if you can't do this, at least ungli kata karke shaheedon mein naam dakhil kar do. You can't do that, at least you came a little bit earlier. So you coming earlier is encouraging. That man comes early, man. I must beat him. And the third person gets inspired, the fourth person gets encouraged. Around further time, when you see the whole line of people, and I see this activity, man, when they come in, one is holding the Quran study, one is doing the zikr, they're not looking around. So, aren't you an encouragement? See that? So, it's achievable, it's a practical thing, and the greatest thing that this is going to be a transition to the akhirat. You'll get that. And when it is the promise of Allah Ta'ala, it is obviously, it must happen. So, what you'll get at the end, تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ بِسَلَامُ. You want to get in with ease, isn't it? Don't you want to get in with ease? Don't you want to get in with respect? So, Nabi Sam is promising you, you will do these 4 deeds, then you will get into Jannat with ease. As you died, now you're getting in, and you're getting in with ease, with respect, with salam. وَدْخُلُوا بِسَلَامُ. Come in with peace, come in, enjoy. Won't that be then the happiest day? Won't that be the most Mubarak day? Won't that be the most enjoyable day, right? So you see these 4 deeds, right? One is salam. So you're going to make salam to the person with a smile on your face. Are you going to have any malice for him? Because salam is a dua. Understand what salam is. Salam is a dua. May Allah Pak's peace be upon you. May His blessings be upon you, right? So when you are making dua for the person, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So is there going to be any malice in your heart? You make it a habit, the malice. You can't say now, the man says, I can't live in this heart now. It's too much. It's too heavy. This heart is too heavy. So it won't be able to stay with you. Just with salam, but understand what the salam is. I think, you know, if every one of us understands what the message of salam, then you're not gonna harbor malice. You're not gonna harbor any grudge. You harbor grudge because you don't know what is contained within the salam. So you make the salam, but with a frame of mind, I'm making dua for this person. So I'm wishing well for him. When I'm wishing well for him, I can't harbor any ill for him. So that's the first thing, salam. Then general kindness. Feed people, general. Whichever way, you can do it, small day, 20 people, 30 people, call them, feed them nicely. Feed them and send them with small parcels. How nice they feel. You don't have to call all women, everybody. 20 people, 30 people, give them a parcel, feed them, prepare one day by Rafiq Bhai or someone. And Rafiq Bhai is happy, you are happy, and those people are happy as well. General kindness. Then specific kindness to your family and friends. Specific. There are specific people in your life, they mean much. So you prepare something, and whether you fed them, whichever way is respect. If they are sick, you go and visit them in the hospital. They passed away, then you are attending the janazah namaz. They in problems, you try and help them. Your family and family's friends, you do that for them as well, right? They in problems, you try and help them out. See now how you know, our life is not a Western life. Western life is everyone for himself and God for all. That's a kafir way. Not our way. That's not our way. It's alien to us. We are for everybody. Because Allah Ta'ala wants us to be for everybody. So when we are for everybody, what can I do for him? What can I do for him? How can I do? Within my means, within my capacity, how much can I do? That's the third thing, right? Specific, that means to your relatives. And the last, your namaz. You know, do your first namaz on time, but then try and get up for tahajjud. And to get up for tahajjud, the easy way, easiest way is, see that after Isha, you're going straight home. Then you got no engagement, this party and that dawah and this person call and you, this meeting, leave all that. The meeting, leave it for tomorrow. But now, after home, after your namaz, Isha namaz, go straight home. But what a great plan you have secured for yourself. You know, you got a motor car plan, you got a health plan, you got a business plan, now you got a death plan. They're talking about funeral insurance. This is like a real funeral insurance. It's an insurance insuring you that yeah, your funeral will go very well, mashallah. Otherwise, you go in the kafir, that kafir style, all they will do is they will put you in that car that you never sat, right? You never saw, no? And they put you in that car, right? First time in your life, no? And they put you in that car, right? And after that, they're going to cremate you, or they'll burn you and finish you, and it's end of yourself. Here, they put you to a simple car, but you did all these four things. Now, hey, you're already flying from the time that you did, and the janazah is taking place, whatever. But you're flying from that moment, you're flying right through. Allah grant us all the tawfiq.